one body with many parts. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether we are slaves or free, have been baptized into one body by the same Spirit. And we have all been given that one Spirit to drink. For the body itself is made up of one part, not one part, but many parts. If the foot were to say,
"Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,"
that would not keep it from being part of the body. If the ear were to say,
"Because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body,"
that would not keep it from being part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, how could it hear? If it were an ear, how could it smell? As it is, however, God has put every different part of the body just as he wanted it to be. There would be a body if there were only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand,
"I don't need you."
Nor the head say to the feet,
"I don't need you."
On the contrary, we cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be weaker.
All of you are
Christ's body, and each one is part of it. The word of the Lord.
Thank you to the five of you for that scripture reading. You know, a month or so ago, from Knox here, there were four of us that headed away to a conference sponsored by the Presbyterian Church in Canada called Stewards by Design. And while a part of that conference certainly had to do with what you might call financial stewardship, I think most of it, largely, it was about what it meant to be a steward of the grace of God that's been entrusted to us as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I discovered there a new, fresh, great thankfulness that our church family here at Knox, as I reflected back and as the group of the four of us thought back on this over the years, that we've got a track record of strength in what it means to look after what God has blessed us with here in Knox, in Christ. We talked a lot there about what are called, the speaker called the 12 keys of a healthy church, and we were able to spot some of those keys here and at work in Knox Church and the strength of them. You're going to hear more about that in reports that are going to keep coming to the congregation, but this morning I simply want to draw out from the scripture passage an area of our life together that I believe God has been at work developing strength in for us. First point here is that a healthy church, talk about the 12 keys of a healthy church sees itself as a family. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Paul, by the way, he read that for us. He said, "Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." You know, there's a serious temptation in our day for people in the church even to think of themselves in a rather what I call a detached way from the life of the church as God's family. And I find Knox Church to be a wonderful breath of fresh air, you know, against that kind of approach. We have an acronym here called HUGS, Hearts United in God's Service. You get a hug here at Knox, and not just from Len, but from many people. You get a hug here because we believe that we're called by God to bless, to care for, to love each other. There's that kind of open and warm and inclusive and welcoming spirit to what we're about here. Now, I understand that there's always room to continue to grow and to increase. But right now, this day, 2016, you know, the years have brought us to this. God has been actively at work shaping in us a spirit of being gracious and generous and compassionate to one another. I've used this before, but I really do see this as like the spiritual DNA of this church family here in Knox, that we're committed to no one being left alone, to no one being left out, and to no one being left behind. That's how we approach life. In his book, the Christian author Philip Yancey, his book Rumors of Another World, he has a story in there. It's a story from the life of Jesse, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the U.S., and I want to read the story to you. Jesse Jackson tells the story of a visit to the University of Southern Mississippi. And while touring the campus with the university president, he noticed a towering male student, 6 feet, 8 inches tall, holding hands with a midget co-ed, barely 3 feet tall. Jackson's curiosity piqued. He stopped to watch as the young man, dressed in a warm-up suit, tenderly picked up the midget, kissed her, and sent her off to class. The university president then explained that the student was a star basketball player. Both his parents had died in his youth, and he made a vow to look after his sister. Many scholarship offers came his way, but it was only Southern Mississippi that offered one to his sister, too. Jackson then went over to the basketball star, introduced himself, and he said he appreciated him looking out for his sister. The athlete shrugged and said, "Those of us who God makes 6'8" have to look out for those God makes 3'3". Well, that's what happens here at Knox. Looking out for each other. Friday's Spectator, there was an article in it, and I wept when I read it, because Susan Claremont was writing about the friendship of two Christian families. And I know the Bosma name is tragically familiar to us all. It was 3 years ago, earlier this month, that Tim Bosma was abducted, he was shot, he was incinerated. Ralph Veldstra has been a friend of Tim's father, Hank, since the fourth grade. And it was on the 8th of May, 3 years ago, that Ralph, along with Tim's father, were walking in the fields behind Timmy's house. And Susan Claremont writes, "They try to be hopeful, but they prepare for the worst." And this quotation comes from Ralph, the friend of Tim's father, Hank. "I told Hank that he wouldn't go through this journey alone. No matter the outcome, I told him, I am never going to leave you." And Tim's father, Hank, says of his friend Ralph Veldstra, who's been in the courtroom with him every single time he's had to go, he says this of his friend, "I can always count on Ralphie." Friend, strong or weak, we sang it at the beginning, we are family. You know, for better or for worse, we are family. Sick or healthy, we are family. The up or the down of life, we're family. And a healthy church gets it. It's one family. Knox is one family. Not only that, the scripture lesson tells us that a healthy church values the individual gifts of its members. You know, God's arranged the makeup of our church family so that, thank goodness, this is the case, that we don't all play and we don't all sing one note, right? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each one of us exactly just where He wants us to be. This past Wednesday evening at our study group on prayer, We were watching the DVD When God's People Pray, and Jim Cimbala, the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, was standing at the opening part of the video at an electronic keyboard in their sanctuary, and he was repeatedly just hitting one note on that keyboard. He just kept hitting that one note, and he said this. He said, "That is not the song of God's heart." And then he played a chord. Four notes. Four different notes. And he said, "That's the song of God's heart. That's the music of God." And I believe that we've got God's music being played here at Knox, and it's a beautiful sound. When I was away at the Stewart's by Design time, I got a much, I'm telling you, I've known these folks for a good amount of time, but I got a much larger sense of the giftings and the passions of Bruce Flig and George Bulmer and Mary Signer. All I can say is, wow, you know, what a blessing they have been, and they continue to be and will be here in this church family. You know, I look out over the, and I don't want to look Matt's way because it's hard to lose a blessing, but it's good to give a blessing away too. Oh, we'll keep the other Matt behind you, right? we have to choose between, no, we're not. But you know, I look out at you. I mean, I just think, Ian, I mean, this guy not only plays the drums, did you hear him speaking with such warmth and compassion and love here this morning? I mean, I look out at this family that we have here, and I have this rich sense of the privilege it is for me to be a part of a church family that has these kinds of giftings and passion and heart, what you bring to us being God's people. I want to tell you that our leadership team and the session are going to be working, you know, following up on this Stewart's by Design conference, we're going to be working so much harder at making it so much easier for you to use your God-given gifts. We want to make it as easy as it's possible for you to, you know, God's got you exactly where He wants you to be, to use exactly the gifts and passions that He's given you. We want to make it as easy as it can be for you to build up and to bless and to express the love of God to others here in Knox. We're one body with many parts, and each part has a significant thing to contribute. And without each part playing its different note, we're not going to get to hear the music that God's wanting to play here in this church family. All right, real quick, praise team, you can come up. But real quick, just some rapid-fire thoughts here at the end. There can be no superstars in God's family because that's only going to create jealousy and envy and insecurity. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. And there can be no lone wolves in God's family because that's only going to create an atmosphere of superiority or inferiority. God doesn't want that. And there can be no one sitting on the sidelines in God's family because that's only going to create an atmosphere of either resentment or indulgence, and God doesn't want any of that in His family either. God has put each and every one of you just where He wants you to be. And so it's up to you now to be asking the Lord, asking God, God, where is that place that You've created just for me here in this church family? And God, what is it that I'm to be doing? What is it that You want me to do and to be and to represent here in this church and through this church family into the wider world? And then having said that, it's up to all of the rest of us, to the whole of our church family here, to be saying each to one another, looking at each other as we're beginning to step into our places that God has just for us, the rest of us are saying, yes, that's God's place just for you, and we're family. Here, we're family. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to sing, and then to conclude our service here this morning, Matt's going to come forward and offer the blessing at the end of the service, and then he and Lisa are going to be out in the hall inviting you to share cake, because they don't want to eat it all, right? It's got a big thank you, Matt and Lisa, on it, so join them in that. Let's pray. Lord, you had us starting the service by singing, "We are family," and we end the service by your Spirit's work, singing that song in our hearts and our lives. We are family, not because we've created this family. You've brought it into being and you've brought us into it. You've welcomed us. How grateful we are, we really and truly are this morning. We've got brothers and sisters. We've got surrogate mothers and grandmothers and sisters here in your family. And we thank you for the part, for the place that you have for each one of us, God. Jesus, come and lead us. Lead each one of us to live out your high calling on our lives. Help us, Lord, to make that space, to create that room, to welcome that expression of who you are and what you're doing through each part of the body here. Help us to be your people that continue to say to you, amen, and continue to say over the lives of each other, amen, yes, Lord, let it be so. This we pray with faith and trust and confidence, holding onto all of your promises for us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.